Got an opinion? Email Rick Emerson day or night at rick@rickemerson.com. This is Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, 503-250-1080 in Portland, 1-800-727-5955. Thank you for coming along. We're here with F. Matt Peterson, Sarah Dillon, Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom. We're going to continue with Mitch here in just a short while. I understand Mitch's wife is around, too. And we're going to get to the bottom of all this.
Yeah, I was call screening. I missed what she said.
Apparently, it's high on Mitch's... Mitch and his wife are no longer going to be importing a Salvadoran bride to clean their house and have hot monkey sex with them. Apparently, it's... Apparently, they're just going to look for some local girl that needs a place to live, and they're going to offer her room and board if she cleans the house 7 hours a week and then also puts out for the both of them. Which, you know, depending on who you are, they might be a good... But anyway, she... But and I said, well, you know... I said, well, what kind of girl are you looking for or whatever? And they... Apparently, you're high on the wife's wish list.
Yeah. I am looking for a place to live.
They're...
Just kidding.
They're going to be... Well, they're going to be at the listener party. So... And drinks are cheap. You know, what are you going to do? So...
You should have held off on the just kidding for... For just like a couple more
just
seconds.
Give Justin reason to dream. Yeah. Just give Justin a little.
I'll just keep an eye out
birthday present
for the girl who keeps buying me all the gin and tonics.
Yeah, well, you're gonna have to, but it's there's gonna be more than one of those, you know. So didn't Big Gay Sarah? Wasn't Big Gay Sarah buying you a bunch of drinks last time, or am I thinking of somebody else?
It was either her or Richard.
Somebody. All right, some sexual deviant. Speaking of sexual deviants, Richard Nunn will be with us later on this hour to weigh in on the Mitch and his wife question. Also, today's top five songs with the word girls in the title. In honor of the 1080 girls, we'll have Peter Carlin from the Oregonian around the corner interview. So hang tight. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. Here's Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom.
And now, it's not just news. It's News with Tim Riley. Live from the newsroom of Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
A Texas company claims to have invented an electrical stimulation device that takes women to a pre-orgasmic state. Stimulation system says this little instrument called the slightest touch electrically stimulates sexual nerve pathways in a woman's pelvis. It costs $180. It's designed to use, say, 10 to 20 minutes before sex, and bring the wearer to a state of sexual readiness.
This is another reason that I'm, you know, it's one of those days I'm glad I'm not a woman, that you have to hear about some device. Can you imagine as a man, I'm speaking out of the men, can you imagine what kind of a hellish life it would be if you had to spend, $180?
Yes.
$180 on a device that it doesn't actually give you orgasm, right? It takes you to a pre-orgasmic state.
It's the size of a Walkman.
Yeah, men are always pretty much in a pre-orgasm, just kind of existing, just sort of walking around as a guy. You're kind of in a pre-orgasmic state. You know, you see a pretty girl on the, hell, you see an ugly girl. It doesn't matter. You see a girl outside, you happen to, you know, flip through the Sears bra section or whatever. You're in a pre-orgasmic state. Spending $180 on a device that you have to use 20 minutes before sex, that will get you to a pre-orgasmic state. It must suck to be a woman. Being a woman must be the most terrible thing on earth.
Better off spending the money on a pocket fisherman.
Seriously, or just, you know, whatever. I mean, I can't even imagine. I don't even know how guys would just kill themselves if they had to do that. If they told a guy, look, you're going to have to buy this thing, $180. About an hour before the sex, you'll need to strap it on. And even then, it's not guaranteed that you'll have an orgasm. It's still kind of a crapshoot. So guys would just go toss themselves off the cliff. Why would you even want to be alive? It's, yeah.
I know, no chance of a quickie or anything.
Sure, I mean,
you have to be preparing like an hour in advance.
I don't know. I mean, you think guys are angry now. You think that men walk around in a state of aggression and irritation now. I can't imagine if men and women had the same kind of sexual response. I know there are exceptions, but I mean, imagine if you were a guy and when you had sex, you weren't necessarily guaranteed that you were going to have a conclusion to that. Imagine how pissed off you'd be all the time. God, no wonder women are so bitchy sometimes. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Ashton Kutcher says he's not only Demi Moore's lover, he's also helping to raise her three kids. He says Moore is everything to him, and he says she's funny, sweet, and anything she wants to be.
Aww.
Doctors don't think Pamela Anderson's going to die as soon as she thinks she will. She told Us Weekly she figures she'd be around for, say, 10 years, maybe 15. But one medical professional tells People.com that the 10-year window she's given herself is a fantasy. How's that brain-dead woman doing today? Well, the parents,
of the brain damaged woman in Florida are insisting that Terry Schiavo can't improve. She's only been in a coma for 10 years. Bob and Mary repeated previous statements that they believe their daughter can respond to them when they visit.
Yeah, she'll be tap dancing any day now.
And they dispute statements that she's in a persistent vegetative state.
She says
it's media bias.
They didn't say that.
That's what it says. Right? It's media bias.
What is it? Okay. All right. She can't chew her own food. She can't swallow liquids herself. What is it you're expecting her to do? Expecting her to go out there and play some Rachmaninoff one of these days? What is it to do? If that's not a persistent vegetative state, I'm not really sure what is. I mean, somebody said, we got this email yesterday, said that because she knows somebody's in the room, therefore she's not in a vegetative state. And I think that she knows somebody in the room. I think that's speculative to begin with. But I mean, you know, I'm sitting in a chair for 10 years, can't get up, can't, you know, use the bathroom by myself, can't swallow correctly, but gun to my head. I give you all permission right now. If I'm in some position in where I can't get out of a chair, can't whiz by myself, cannot swallow a liquid without the aid of a machine, I want you to kill me. I'm telling you right now, in the presence of everybody, in the presence of the listeners, and I don't care if Jeb Bush is running for re-election in my state or not. I want you to come and put a bullet in the base of my brain if that's ever the situation with me.
Where can we find you?
I don't think I'll be hard to find. Look for the guy that's not moving. Like I'm going to get away and go anywhere. It's media bias.
Next news, when it happens, I'm Tim Riley.
All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland at 1-800-727-5955. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, with a heart full of hate and a head full of snakes. The furthest thing from a vegetative state you could possibly imagine, it's Oregonian TV critic Peter Carlin. What's up, man?
Feeling sleepy. Feeling like lying around for 14 years without doing much. I'm kidding.
I'm sorry.
Just being vegetative.
Did you hear what we did? That the parents are saying that she's, quote, what is it, Tim? What is the quote actually from the parents about this?
No, it's media bias.
That she's not really in a vegetative state. It's media bias.
Yeah.
You know, because if you turn on Fox, she's doing cartwheels and playing shuffleboard.
Well, it's really weird and sad and awful. And the more I look at that story, the more I don't want anything to do with it. But the whole thing just seems like it's a really weird political football.
Well, I mean, you know, and God forbid, we were talking to John Zarella from CNN, who's the Miami bureau chief yesterday. And he's been following this for a long time. And apparently the only reason that the husband, Michael Schiavo, or whatever his name is, the only reason he's apparently not bankrupt is because the doctors screwed up in the first place putting her in the vegetative state, and he won $2 million.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but you know what? That $2 million, it's already gone.
I bet it is. I bet that was gone in like a year.
Yeah, so everything, the doctors, the hospice workers, the lawyers, it's all pro bono now.
Wow.
Because the guy didn't have any money. And of course the parents step in, and Jeb Bush, who is doing this as some sort of just the most cynical pandering maneuver you can possibly imagine.
Yeah.
Steps in for this. So I mean, I was just saying, you know, I was telling somebody the other day, it's like you're going to get a living will, you know, and in my living will, it's going to say, you know, I want you to unplug me, even if Jeb Bush is running for office again. It doesn't. I mean, come on, man. What kind of this country is going to hell?
I know.
Going to hell. We're on the hot rails to Hades as we speak right now.
Yeah.
Florida's a bad place. Florida. What the hell is wrong with Florida?
It's a screwball little joint, I'll tell you that. They make California look normal.
I mean, everything in Florida is... I got an email the other day from some guy in Florida, says they call them sandbillies down there because it's just like the most backwoods place, you know, south of the Mason-Dixon, apparently. You don't really think of Florida being the south, but then when you read news stories like this, it suddenly does all kind of make sense.
Well, the whole thing with the election in 2000, I don't think I'll ever get over that. I mean, what I don't understand is how that just was sort of, people just kind of shrugged and went on. The whole thing seemed like such a grievous fix from the get-go. How botched the election was and how it was all run by the brother of one of the candidates, and just the constant scheming and strategizing and, you know, on both sides. It just, the whole thing was just forehead slappingly delicious.
Well, especially that Florida is known to have like the most corrupt electoral process in the country anyway. I mean,
yeah.
Even before this, when Florida is known to just sort of be, you know, it's still like 1955 down there. I mean, it's you just expect Bull Connor to be policing, you know, turning police dogs loose on people at the polling places. The other thing, and I don't sit and dwell on it, but you know, Michael Moore was in town last night, and I ended up not going to see him, but he is one of those guys, you know, he he refers to George W. Bush, and he puts president in quotes, you know, and whatnot. And what kind of bugs me, and I don't sit and rehash the entire Florida situation, what bugs me, though, and you kind of hit on it here, is the idea that it's somehow, that you're somehow wrong, or, you know, that you just, that you don't have your act together if you're still annoyed about it. Like, to be irritated to this day over the fact that, like, we had just this egregiously hijacked election, however you felt about the outcome.
Right.
You know, when you start to talk about that, people roll their eyes and like, oh, move on, get past it.
Get over it. No, that's the term.
Yeah,
get over it.
Yeah, get over it. I mean, what the hell does that mean, you know?
I know. Yeah, it's strange and wrong, and it makes me sad.
That's why I'm looking forward to the 2004 election like nobody's business, because you know what? I know a whole lot of people out there, and I'm not a Democrat by any means, but I know a whole lot of people out there on the left that are just holding this just... I mean, a death grudge about that. I mean, they are just holding it close to their heart. I mean, Richard Nixon never had an enemies list like some of the people I know. And they are just waiting till 2004, and they are just going to, I mean, it's going to be, you know, payback time in a lot of people's opinions, and on the left and the right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, 2004, I mean, it's just going to be the most entertaining election, you know,
It could be. I get the sense it's sort of stacking up to that. I mean, I get, you know, that there's a lot of dissatisfaction and a lot of disconnection out there, and one thing you got to hand to the administration is that they came in with what you might call a shaky mandate, given the fact that he lost the popular vote by actually a pretty big margin.
Given the fact that most people voted for somebody else.
Exactly. You know. And they came in not with a sense of, okay, we're going to take this down the middle, we're really going to be pretty moderate in what we do, you know, in the range of the things that we want to do, we're going to be pretty down the middle with this. They came in like a ball of fire, like they had won, like, you know, 49 states. It's like, we're just going to do whatever the hell we want to do because we're here. You know, get over it and get out of the way.
Well, I think American political discourse is becoming more polarized, and I think it's becoming more sort of shrill and pointed with every passing year. I mean, a perfect example of this is Ann Coulter.
Oh, Jesus, yeah.
And I don't know if you read the Boondocks much, but, you know, there's this whole plot line being advanced now that Ann Coulter is secretly a man, because she has an enormous Adam's apple. I mean, it's huge. It's like a softball down there, man. She looks like a bullfrog trying to chase off a predator. It's just... It's unbelievable. But you know, you never saw, there was no Ann Coulter 15 years ago, and I'm not trying to be one of those guys pining for the good old days. I'm just saying that there was no equivalent to Ann Coulter. The only thing we had was Pat Buchanan, I guess, and even he wasn't quite as fascistic and about as Ann Coulter, but it's, you know, and you know, I mean, you have these books now, you know, like, you know, that book Treason that she wrote, and
slander, treason, murder. She's working her way up to that.
Yeah, I mean,
aggravated murder.
Yes, Antichrist
slaughtering babies.
You know, and you never saw that. I mean, American political discourse is becoming, you have to be louder and ever more niche-oriented in your delivery to get any sort of attention. And that's the same thing on the left, too. You know, witness Al Franken. You know, but it's, so, I had some point. I don't know what the hell point was I making here? I was going somewhere.
The political discourse is fractured and more polarized.
Oh, but the Bush people. So that's the thing about the Bush people is that, like, you know, the Bush administration, you know, whatever anybody else thinks of them, I mean, they knew that, you know, because it's like they were never going to have the left. Doesn't matter what the Bush administration does. And I mean, not to sound cynical, but, you know, 9/11 was good to the Bush administration in a whole lot of ways, not least of which because it did help people sort of, it did push the election out of people's minds.
Yeah.
You know, but the Bush people knew that they were never going to get the left, ever, no matter what they did, and they're probably not going to get most moderates, and so they just decided to do what we in radio call super serving the demo. You know, you identified a niche demo, and you screw everybody else, and you pander relentlessly to that one demo.
Yeah.
So, and as an expert in pandering, I can tell you that they've done a pretty good job of it, and they've super served their core market, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you got to kind of give it to those guys. Who do you think the Democratic nominee is going to be?
I don't know. You know, it sort of depends. At this point, in some ways, it's too early. It's like, I think Clark or Dean, one of those two guys, seems to me like are the strongest candidates. I think, you know, but Clark has got to get out there and prove that he can actually function as a politician. And Dean's got to get out there and prove that he can, you know, make a coherent statement, you know, or make sort of form a coherent campaign narrative and stay on message and not kind of put his foot in his mouth, and I think also develop a broader appeal that goes beyond the, you know, the fairly angry left.
Right.
And you know, because, and the irony there is that he was actually a very moderate and in many ways conservative governor when he was governor in Vermont for 10 years. And the things that he's been saying over the last 8 or 10 months are somewhat anomalous. I mean, his one real out-of-center position was on the war.
Yeah.
But so many people have kind of tacked in that direction since then.
Well, and I know a lot of people who think, you know, Tim Riley here thinks it's going to be Kerry because he thinks that Dean is too radical, you know, for the party. But, you know, Dean, it's a shame that things like this even matter. But you know what? Dean looks like a president. He talks like a president. He sounds like a president. I think if it were up to, you know, the so-called people and not sort of a, some sort of machinations of the party, I think it would be Dean in a heartbeat. Oh, you know, I got to tell
you. Yeah, but I don't know that Kerry is, I don't know if the party is all going to line up behind Kerry, because those guys who come out of the Congress don't necessarily do really well. Because when was the last time a senator got elected president? JFK?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, it must be. Yeah, it's
been a while,
yeah.
My friends. Yeah. I mean, it's usually governors.
Yeah.
And the other thing he's been able to do, which is sort of interesting and maybe breaks the mold of how campaigns are run, is that he's been raising buckets of money off the internet.
Yep.
With you know, so maybe this whole calculation of how you raise money and how you develop your support is going to change. I mean, maybe the thing about him is that he's going to draw in a vast population of people who don't ordinarily vote.
Well,
and so your whole, you know, sort of the calculus of what you think it takes to get nominated and what you think it takes to get elected may be completely broken.
I think the fascinating thing about 2004, and especially you could already see it in the Democratic primaries, is it's, that there was almost, I mean, there's some infighting, but I mean, it just seemed like there was, for big swaths of it anyway, just such a united front, in that it's like they all made the secret handshake backstage just to go after Bush. You know, and you really don't see that a whole lot. You see this fractious infighting most of the time, but they, you know, they really just went after Bush with a freaking hatchet. And so I think whoever it ends up being, I think 2004, I mean, Karl Rove, you know, maybe sort of this Machiavellian maestro of all this, but he has got his work cut out for him, because it's gonna be ugly. It's gonna be a, you know, death fight down in the mud. You know.
Yeah, you know, it could go in many ways. I feel like it could go either way. I mean, just depending on current events and the economy and that kind of stuff. I mean, you could almost see the guy coasting. Because also, don't forget that guy's got, the president's got, like, you know, what do they say, he's gonna have 170 million, and he doesn't have a primary fight.
Yeah.
And these guys are gonna have to slug it out for a while, and whoever emerges is probably going to be bloodied to some extent. But yeah, but on the other hand, it could be that the economy continues to sputter. It could be that you know, more stuff comes out that makes these guys in the administration look worse, and you know, next thing you know, you know, his reelect numbers are already pretty shaky.
Yeah, but he's got that picture of himself on an aircraft carrier.
I know, but I'm beginning to think that that's not going to do them a whole lot of good, because, like, guys get killed have been getting killed every day since then.
Yeah.
Three of them today.
Yeah.
So, you know, there he was declaring victory, but it's like, oddly enough, more guys have been killed since then than were killed before that. So.
Did you see, sort of a companion piece to that, not only did we have, I mean, you know, whatever, 200 plus people killed since the war ostensibly ended. Did you see that the Bush administration actually now has forbidden any photographs or press coverage of caskets arriving back at Rammstein?
Right.
So it's not really happening, you know.
Well, I mean, you can make the argument that that just preserves the dignity of the moment, or the dignity of these peoples.
Yeah, you can make that argument if you
all
like.
Right.
Okay. I want to get a little bit of television here, a little bit. What is, let's talk about this show, Super Secret TV Formulas.
Mm.
You wrote about this, and it's in the paper today, but I'm not, what is this show?
It starts on Friday, I think, at 11.
Is that tonight?
Whenever they air it.
Tonight or next Friday?
In it. I don't know why they're airing it, like, way late at night, but it's sort of like, it's the same format as their, you know, I love the 80s, I love the 70s things, with these kind of combinations of period videotape with sort of snarky commentary. But this just struck me as more satisfying than the larger documentaries, because they're more focused. There's a little more emphasis on people who actually know what they're talking about, as opposed to just smart-ass stand-ups who've got, like, a little sharp commentary to make about, you know.
Some guy from Will and Grace or Carrot Top or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like these guys who weren't even born then or were like 3 years old saying, yeah, no, I remember Pet Rocks. It's like, go to hell. No, you don't.
See, it's not, you know, it's not a good Peter Carlin segment unless we get one good go to hell.
Yeah. Right.
I missed Skin on Monday, but I'm watching it tonight. They're rerunning the pilot tonight.
So good.
So I'm going to be viewing that because you gave it the stamp of approval. So I'm going to be all over that.
You'll dig it, man. You'll dig it quite a bit.
All right, man.
It did remarkably. There's like an inverse proportional relationship between the shows that I gave really good reviews to and good ratings this fall. It's making me laugh. Every show that I like, in other words, is probably going to be canceled.
Yeah, canceled
with extreme prejudice.
Oh, but at least they pulled Coupling though.
Only for Sweeps. It'll be back.
Oh, God. See, it's just, you know, it's like a hemorrhoid. You think it's gone and then flaring again. All right, Peter Carlin, you can read him in print in the Oregonian or on live at OregonLive.com. All right, man, enjoy your weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
My pleasure.
All right, there you go. There's Peter Carlin from the Oregonian. All right, around the corner, Richard Nunn from Fox 12 Storm Center. And the top five songs with the word girls in the title. Stay there. We'll be back.
From the KOTK Newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
229, I'm Tim Riley. It's JCPenney's two-day sale today and tomorrow only. Save 20 to 60% store-wide on the best brands for your family at home. Don't miss it. It's all inside JCPenney. Uma Thurman is kicking ass and crossing off names as the bride who's out for revenge in the hit film Kill Bill 2. Uma talks about the films that Quentin showed her to get the idea on Kill Bill.
I think actually way back when the idea was first created, he screened The Killer for me. John Woo's The Killer. And then later came Coffee, came the Sergio Leone, Clint Eastwood films, came Bruce Lee, Lady Snowblood, a Japanese samurai female revenge film, which was a big inspiration to him.
Talk about the bride's code of ethics when hunting down former colleagues.
She goes to them, she meets them on their turf, basically challenges them to a duel of some kind, and gives them the advantage, challenges them with a weapon of their choice. So there's a certain code of ethics that the character follows, Viper Rules of Honor, that Quentin kind of laid out. And she follows them to the point that it's almost potentially a suicide mission. You know, I mean, she's not sneaking up on people sadistically trying to just knock them out. She goes about it in a really sort of honorable way.
Also opening this week is that movie Radio with Cuba Gooding Jr., which is nothing about a radio. Apparently it's called that because he collects radios or something. And the Oregonian says it narrowly avoids the cinematic trash heap. It gives it a C.
What is that?
Radio.
Oh, yeah. No, that's a terrible film. It's got Cuba Gooding Jr., right?
And that's the guy that used to work at the radio station across town who wrote that. What's his name? Mike?
Anyway. Oh, it's not that guy from Kink, is it?
Uh-huh.
Is it that guy that wrote Finding Forrester?
Yep.
Oh, how sad for him.
Sad for him. So it's the Portland curse this time.
Okay.
Anyway, it's going to be mostly sunny all weekend, at least till Tuesday anyway. Daytime highs in the 70s. Tim Riley at the KOTK Newsroom, live around the world at KOTK.com. Made possible by Budget Computers, home of the $200 laptop.
Call now to join us, 503-250-1080 or 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. Like is a 3. Bill Henry Show at 7 and then Ground Zero, the greatest damn radio program on earth. That's tonight with Clyde Lewis at 10 p.m. We're less than a week away from the Rick Emerson Listener Party, by the way. People are emailing me asking about, now the bus is packed, right? Solid, filled, full.
Bus is full. There is a chance, because it's, you know, nobody's really paid in advance, so there is a chance that some people may back out at the last minute.
No.
And we will be announcing probably Monday where and when and everything the bus is meeting.
And so if you want to play the odds.
If you want to play the odds that somebody's going to back out.
Which they probably will.
It generally happens.
We probably have like... When the bus holds 57 people, we usually have 5 to 6% that drop out. So it's going to be a few seats probably open. I'm not promising anything, but it may.
Right.
It may
so the extra seats will be filled on a first-come, first-served basis.
Yeah. All right. Let's welcome first to the Rick Emerson Show, the official meteorologist of the Rick Emerson program, Richard Nunn from the Fox 12 Storm Center. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing okay.
I don't know if I got a space on the bus.
What's that?
I want to know if I got a space on the bus.
My friend, space on the bus. You got a space on Sarah's lap. That's what we got. We reserved a space for you
thanks.
Sarah Dillon's lap. Well, I'm just, you know, I'm trying to...
We'll trade halfway when your leg's get numb. You can sit on my lap.
I'm trying to give...
I appreciate it.
Trying to give back a little something there. Hey, you...
Thank you.
By the way, you missed some of the fine 1080 girls who were in attendance in the studio yesterday.
I know you swapped days on me. I was going to be in there today, and then my today got all messed up, and I was going to be in there yesterday.
Yeah.
Girls.
I know, they moved on us. Well, because it's like they have a sister. Grace and Gloria apparently have two equally hot sisters, and they called at the last minute, like, well, we can come Thursday with two other girls. And we're like, well, okay. You know, so
okay, Thursday it is.
Yeah. They're going to be here. The 1080 girls, I think, are all going to be here in costume, I think, next Wednesday, though. So,
Let me look at my schedule. Hey, look, I'm free!
Yeah, God forbid you have some time to drop by. Let me, before we... Did Matt fill you in on this business of the sex slave girlfriend that Mitch and his wife are listening trying to hook up?
Yes, and I asked them to put me on hold because I hope they have the phone number so I can order me a Guatemalan woman.
We'll be connecting you in just a moment. Let me ask you, though, about this. Man, it was like for days, it was just hot. Every day I would leave the house. I bicycle to work, and I have this zip-up thing that traps your body heat. It's like a little windbreaker kind of thing. I would wear it, and it would just be like 190 degrees. And then the one day I didn't take it, I got hit with rain and wind. And today my hands were falling off from the cold. What's the deal with the weather? Where are we here?
Actually, the temperatures this weekend, are going to be approaching record high heat for this time of year. I wouldn't be surprised if we didn't see some lower 80s on Sunday, upper 70s for tomorrow.
Damn.
It's unseasonable, but you know what? For God's sakes, we'll take it.
Yeah, completely. Hey, I get people, by the way, I just got one here from Charmaine. Charmaine wants to know when is Richard Nunn on television so I can watch him. I love that guy, she says.
Well, I'll be on tomorrow morning, tomorrow Saturday, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I'll be on tomorrow morning with Good Day Lifestyles, and the co-host Kim Singer will be there, and our food guy Ken Hoyt. And a garden guy and a guy that does plumbing or something.
Okay, sounds thrilling. The plumbing part especially. Woo, I'm there. Right. Let's welcome to the show here. This is Mitch's wife. Hello. Yeah, radio turned on is what it is.
Mrs. Mitch.
Mrs. Mitch. Hey there. Hi there. Yeah, so you can hear me in the background actually trying to get a hold of her.
Okay, no, wait now. Are you there?
Hi there. Yeah, you need to turn down the radio.
Okay, I'm in a complete different room.
Okay, all right. So what is your first name?
Am I on the air?
Yes, you are.
Okay, I don't want to say my first name.
Okay, we'll call you...
Call me Sally.
We'll call you Sally. Excellent.
Call me Sally.
All right, Sally. So we have been talking to you...
Meet Sally.
You're
Meet
here with...
Sally.
So you're here with... You're on the Rick Emerson Show here with Richard Nunn from Fox 12. Now, we were talking to Mitch, your boyfriend or husband or whatever. Let me understand the deal. The deal is that you guys are going to offer room and board to a woman who will clean between 5 and 10 hours a week for you, and then also will be your sexual partner.
You know what? That's true. And I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I think it's totally fair deal.
I'm completely
in
favor of that.
We're
all in favor of this idea. We're all in favor of it. Yes,
I've been on hold for an hour to get the phone number because
now,
I want to order two of them.
Nobody thought it wasn't fair. She didn't think it was a good enough deal. But let me ask you a question.
Depends on how good the sex is.
The sex is great.
Okay.
So if you were like given an opportunity
yes.
to have somebody. Come into your relationship,
yeah.
clean your house, make good love to you and your husband. Tell me, how good is that?
Well, no, that's great. I don't think Jolie was saying it wasn't a good deal for you. I think we all agree it's a good deal for you. I think Jolie's observation was that Jolie's like, you know, is the woman going to be getting paid or is it just going to be room and board?
She's going to have satisfaction. How's that?
She'll have satisfaction.
And
now, is this?
Not only that, I want somebody illegal. I do not want them to speak English. Because that way they
this
won't
doesn't
like
sound creepy
have a
at all.
Say.
Okay, Richard.
They
thoughts?
Can be illegal.
Richard, thoughts, observations.
I'm agreeing with the whole thing. I mean, the less she talks, the more she's going to do. The
there
less she's going to ask because she's not going to understand anyway.
To both people. So
yeah,
when
you
I
just
say
have
like,
to...
clean the floors and I can, like, motion it or do this or motion it.
You know, the sign language.
Oh, right. Exactly.
Beautiful. And not even so much sign language, just so much gesturing,
you
whether
can,
they're clean or not.
Yeah.
Point to what to do.
Is this, now, when it comes to the sex, is this something she'll be with just with you or with you and your husband? Or?
Actually, the way I looked at it was, she will first be my little play toy.
Yes.
She'll sleep on my side. She'll do as I say. And when I'm satisfied,
okay,
then I will allow her to move to the other side.
You're a dirty little girl.
I am. I'm really dirty.
Sally, are you the dominant one in your relationship now?
Yeah, what do you think?
No, with guys, I mean, my man is, like, dominant, but with women, I like to be dominant.
All right, so, okay.
I know it's nasty.
So then, now that's entirely okay. We like daddy's dirty little angel. That's what we like. All right, boy, you know, I just have hours and hours. Now, you work the rest of the week, right? Are you Fridays off? Because we'd love to talk to you some more about this, but we're short on time.
I would love to talk to you more about this.
Excellent. That's
what
I like to hear.
I have a good lineup.
Yeah, okay.
Did you find the click in the back of the
Willette who's going to, like, hook me up?
Oh, wait, so you met somebody who's going to hook you up? Okay, I just have no time. I got to do the thing. All right, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put you on hold. You're going to be on with Sarah or Matt over there. They'll talk to you, and we're going to find out a time to talk a little bit more about this.
Perfect.
All right, there you go.
We can't be done.
Dude, it's killing
me.
There's
so many questions. I didn't get the email. I didn't get a number.
I got Tony Roma stuff to talk about here, man. I got to pay my rent. All right.
Ribs or hot, slutty chick?
Can't I have both?
Oh, that would be a good time.
Maybe a hot, slutty chick with some ribs. You know, they got that.
Or just in the Tony Roma's barbecue sauce.
They got that Roma's Feast. $10.99. They're not insane. They're just good people.
What if she cooked, too? So she cleans, she cooks, she puts out, and she could do it all at the same time.
It's the best thing ever. All right, hold on. We're doing this. We're going to come back. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere. It's Hot Talk 1080. KTK. You stay there.
Live from Portland, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Got an opinion? Pick up the phone and call. Lines are open at 503-250-1080 or toll free 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, it's your top five for Friday.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, fire!
Counting is wonderful, counting is marvelous, counting's
the best thing to do.
Counting is happiness, counting is ecstasy, I love to count.
Don't you? It's Tim Riley in the KOTK Newsroom.
And if this month has meant one thing, it's meant girls. Girls on the left, girls on the right, girls who are single, and girls who come in doubles. In short, the 1080 girls have been center stage the past few weeks, but it's no wonder. Girls are the inspiration for whole sections of our culture. Like these, the top five songs with girl in the title. With honorable mention going to Cheap Trick and Southern Girls.
Great song. Great band. Yeah, top five songs here with girls in the title. Girl with like 50 million of them. But by the way, it should be noted that Gene Simmons took My Girl from me. That song modeled shamelessly on the Cheap Trick sound. Yeah, yeah.
And at number five, Duran Duran with Girls on Film.
On her back.
Somewhere Amanda Perry is doing excited jumping jacks.
Girls on film. Girls on film.
I'm the only one that misses synthesizer.
Girls on film.
Yeah, pretty much.
Girls on
you know. Never mind. You know, for a bunch of guys that look like they were Nagel paintings, The men in Duran Duran got laid more than anyone on Earth. Chicks dig guys who look like chicks, you know?
What do you mean, did? They probably still do.
Probably still do. They're reuniting.
And at number four, AC/DC with Girls Got Rhythm.
Yeah. That big Gibson right there.
No doubt about it,
Girls got a rhythm.
With Girls.
I've always
girls.
Wanted to take this song and mix it together with all of the hell was that?
I don't know.
I think that was the hand of God intervening at the Beastie Boys' rampant sexism.
I think
and
that was the Aurora Borealis attacking.
Maybe we should move on to number two.
Well, just, you know, since everybody in America owns License to Ill, just continue that song in your head. Here's number two.
Gee whiz. Number two is California Girls.
This is, you know, any version of the song, really. Here's the David Lee Roth version. Crazy from the Heat.
Well, East Coast Girls,
take a bucket of anything to go. And a glazed donut. Or whatever that is. I've always wanted to take the Beastie Boys Girls, though, and mix it together with that speech that what's-his-name, Ad-Rock, gave at the... Remember when he said the VMAs, we need to quit disrespecting women. You know, you kind of aren't allowed to say that when you're the Beastie Boys. It's just not true.
And the number one Motley Crue with Girls, Girls, Girls.
A video banned by MTV, which now seems so unbelievably tame. Listen to that. Crue will never die. Song, great album. Although it should be noted, there's an egregious omission from this list, which occurred to me about an hour ago, but I couldn't do anything about it. I failed to put Queen's Fat Bottom Girls on the list, but what can you do? All right, we got more on the way. It's the Rick Emerson Show on Hot Talk 1080. KOTK, stay there.
From Portland, it's Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Rick Emerson. Only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Oh, yeah, Beautiful Girls, Van Halen 2. All right, what are you doing there? All right. Guys sending me pictures of Duran Duran. Those guys have held up pretty well. Yeah. All right. What am I doing here? We now enter the saddest part of the broadcast today, of course, final segment of the Rick Emerson Show. We got Like Us next. I think Flash Friday's done, though, right? Or is tonight the final one?
I think tonight might be the last one.
Because that is Daylight Savings Time.
Daylight Savings Time, so yeah, so the final Flash Friday.
Today, the final Flash Friday, Like Us, followed by Phil Hendry, followed by the best damn radio program anywhere, anytime, Ground Zero, with Clyde Lewis. He's going to be releasing a gnome or something tonight, I guess, or whatever.
A gnome or a djinn?
It's a thing. It's a thing that shouldn't be released, and he's going to be breaking the seventh seal, and... Something's going to be conjured forth. I don't know. He'll be on tonight, 10 to 1. Tomorrow, 10 to 1. Sunday, 8 to 10, immediately following the Jesus sketch. Oh, we didn't get the... Damn it. We didn't read the Richard Nunn haiku. Do we have the haiku bed? Do we have like 30 seconds here? Got some Richard Nunn haiku. Maybe I should wait and do it on Wednesday when he's here.
I think we have exactly 30 seconds.
All right. This one's called, He's Scum, But He's Our Scum. So-called weatherman. A degenerate gambler. Nunn is too damn cool. And then this one came into right after that guy from the Little Rascals OD'd. It's called The End of Nunn's Road. Drinking and gambling. Faking his weather prowess. Goes out Whitey style. There you go. There's some haiku master Aaron. All right, we want to thank CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop, Richard Cheese, who will be with us again on Monday, right? We're going to be talking to Richard Cheese on Monday. We are now just 5 days away from Listener Party 4, the greatest goddamn party in the history of the universe. Halloween Hangover. Next Thursday, Le Center, New Phoenix, Last Frontier Casino, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Be listening for details. We want to thank Richard Cheese, Peter Carlin from The Oregonian, Richard Nunn from Fox 12, Mitch and Sally. Richard Quest, Charlie Sheen, Angelina Jolie, Uma Thurman, Britney Spears, Elizabeth Smart, and all that. The Rick Emerson Show is produced today and every day by Sarah Dillon for Hot Talk to Eddie KOTK in the newsroom. Tim Riley, executive producer, 1F Matt Peterson. We will see you Monday at noon for the KOTK Noon News Hour. As always, don't let the bastards grind you down. Thank you for listening. Have a safe weekend. Be safe. Bye.
Come on, bug like a dog for me.